Welcome to Overdrive, a podcast from Rheumatology Network. I'm Lana Dykes. On this month's episode, I spoke with Dr. Suma Chakrabarty to discuss the growing body of clinical evidence evaluating joint efficacy, safety, and patient-reported outcomes in patients with psoriatic arthritis receiving guselkumab. Dr. Chakrabarty is associated with the Rheumatology Therapeutic Area, U.S. Immunology Medical Affairs, and Janssen Scientific Affairs. Hi, thank you for joining me today.
Thanks, Lana, for having me. Pleasure to be here.
Can you tell me more about guselkumab and how it is used to treat patients with active psoriatic arthritis?
Of course, absolutely. Janssen, you know, at Janssen, we're very proud of the history and legacy with respect to the data that we have. And so Tremfya is, you know, the first IL-23 inhibitor that's been approved in the U.S. To treat both adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis, who are candidates for phototherapy or systemic therapy, and adults with active PSA. And you know, we've, as I mentioned, been accruing a large body of clinical evidence for Tremfya's efficacy. And that's really something that we're excited about because it translates, I think, into impact for patients and their providers. And this is inclusive of 2 years of joint efficacy and safety data that we have with respect to active psoriatic arthritis. This is as a result of 2 phase 3 clinical trials that we've had. And with respect to durable response rates, we've actually seen that through both 2 years in active psoriatic arthritis, but also through 5 years in psoriasis. And that's based on the open label extension from the Voyage 1 study. Importantly as well, from a safety perspective, we now have data through 2 years in active psoriatic arthritis, as well as through 5 years in moderate to severe plaque psoriasis, where really you see a very consistent safety profile across the indications. One additional point that I want to add with respect to Tremfya is that it's the first therapy in psoriatic arthritis to have facet fatigue. So in other words, a measure of fatigue in label. So certainly the first IL-23 inhibitor, but I think even more importantly, the first therapy in psoriatic arthritis to have that approval. And I think that's a very important aspect to keep in mind because overall well-being is an important consideration when developing a treatment plan in psoriatic arthritis. And because there are a whole host of medications that are available to manage symptoms, understanding what treatment option is available for you that actually can address fatigue and allow for the patient to experience improvement in fatigue is of significant impact. And I think that's something that both patients and their providers appreciate.
What were the study designs and methods used in developing the Discover 1 and Discover 2 trials?
Right. So the 2 pivotal phase 3 studies, as you mentioned, were Discover 1 and 2. Discover 1 was a 52-week study. Discover 2 was a study that went through 2 years. Discover 1 was the smaller of the 2 studies that looked at a mixed population of both bio-naive psoriatic arthritis patients, as well as those patients that could have had up to 2 prior TNF inhibitors as part of their treatment history. Discover 2 was the larger of the 2 studies where we looked at all bio-naive psoriatic arthritis patients. There were also some slight differences in the inclusion criteria. So with respect to Discover 1, patients had to have 3 or more swollen and tender joints and a CRP of 0.3 or higher, whereas in Discover 2, they had to have 5 or more swollen tender joints and a CRP of 0.6 or higher. And that was really to be able to enrich the patient population to not only look for signs and symptoms, but also look for radiographic inhibition. The design of the studies is similar in the sense that there were 2 dosing regimens that were examined. One was looking at Tremfya dosed as 100 milligrams sub-Q at week 0, 4, and then every 8 weeks. Another arm looked at Tremfya at 100 milligrams sub-Q dosed at week 0, 4, and then every 4 weeks. And then there was a placebo control that went through week 24 for both studies, after which the patient could then be crossed over to the Tremfya every 4 week dosing regimen. I do want to note that currently the FDA approval is only for Tremfya at week 0, 4, and every 8 weeks. And so the every 4 week dosing is currently not in label, at least in the US.
What were the primary and any secondary endpoints evaluated in these trials?
Sure. So the primary endpoint for both Discover 1 and 2 was an ACR 20 response at week 24. And this was met in terms of the primary endpoint for both studies and was statistically significant. And once that primary endpoint was met, there were a host of major secondary endpoints that were assessed that include enthesitis, dactylitis, physical function in the form of HAQ, BI, as well as skin response, which was the IGA 0/1 response. And then finally, a health-related quality of life measure known as the SF-36. And in this case, it was specifically the physical component summary score that was assessed. Now, in Discover 2, in addition to what I mentioned, the PSA modified Vander-Heide-Sharp score, which is what we use to assess for radiographic progression, is also assessed at week 24.
What were the results regarding efficacy, safety, and patient-reported outcomes that were presented at the ACR?
Sure. So we've actually had quite a bit of data now since the FDA approval for selcamab PSA, which was in July 2020. So we've had multiple data presentations at both ACR as well as EULAR. And so I'll just summarize by saying that in addition to the primary endpoint of the ACR 20 response being met, we were able to show statistically significant differences in favor of Tremfya versus placebo with respect to the skin response, so an IGA 0/1 response at week 24, in addition to physical function with the HAQ-DI, with the SF-36 PCS that I mentioned, the physical component summary score, and a pre-specified pooled analysis for resolution of enthesitis and dactylitis. At week 24. In addition, as I said, specific to Discover 2, we were able to demonstrate a statistically significant difference for the Tremfya Q4 dosing regimen versus placebo when it comes to the PSA modified Vander-Heide-Sharp score. The Q8 dosing regimen, which is what's currently in label, trended towards seeing a statistically significant difference, but unfortunately, the p-value was not less than 0.05. In a nutshell, those are the main findings from the Discover 1 and 2 studies. But again, there's been a whole slew of secondary analyses that we've been looking at that range from looking at predictors of response with respect to joint efficacy outcomes, extra-articular outcomes such as enthesitis, dactylitis, looking at effects on pain, on fatigue, as well as a whole host of data sets and analyses that we've been looking at in terms of axial disease.
What does this clinical research mean for both rheumatologists and their patients?
Well, I think, with respect to this clinical research that's ongoing, and there's a lot of scientific innovation that's ongoing, it does mean additional treatment options for patients and their providers in a disease that is heterogeneous, that can be challenging to treat based on the multiple domains of disease that are sometimes involved with respect to psoriatic arthritis. And just to take a step back for a second, when you think about what's been typically the treatment paradigm, right, starting with non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs to relieve pain, reduce inflammation, corticosteroids are in that bucket as well, but then really moving on to these disease-modifying anti-rheumatic drugs, DMARDs, like methotrexate, which do have some effect in terms of slowing the progression of PSA, saving the joints from, you know, further damage, and other immunosuppressants, you really then get to the biologics. And the biologics are what target specific parts of the immune system that trigger the inflammation. And also, because of the severity and heterogeneity of PSA, there's no one-size-fits-all approach. So you really do need to have a, you know, sort of armamentarium of therapeutic options, which I think the scientific innovation that we've been seeing in the field reflects that. And specifically with respect to Janssen, where we have been very much focused on relentlessly advancing care to address these needs in psoriatic arthritis, that's reflected not only in our Tremfya psoriatic arthritis approval and commitment in that space with additional clinical trials that I can certainly talk about a little bit later, but also the fact that in general, we're making such an investment with respect to new scientific evidence generation, our pipeline with respect to really, again, investing heavily in R&D to usher in the next era of immune-mediated diseases, be it PSA or other therapeutic areas like inflammatory bowel disease. And as I mentioned, we have a whole slew of clinical trials going on. In fact, you know, 21 entities across phase two, phase three studies. So I think hopefully that gives you a sense of the breadth and depth with respect to the impact that the scientific innovation can have on the community of not just rheumatologists, or other providers treating psoriatic disease, but their patients.
Absolutely. Well, I think we may have touched up on this, but is there anything else that you would like our audience to know about guselkumab or Janssen before we wrap up?
Well, again, Lana, thank you so much for this opportunity. I think with respect to guselkumab and psoriatic arthritis, you know, we're very proud of being able to have been the first selective IL-23 inhibitor approved for active psoriatic arthritis. And when you look at the totality of data that we've generated behind that approval, you'll see that the efficacy and safety of Tremfya, consistent with what we've seen in psoriasis, and also addressing the multiple domains of disease within psoriatic arthritis, right? We've touched upon those various domains like peripheral arthritis, enthesitis, dactylitis, skin disease, axial disease, et cetera. And I think at the same time, also, there's a tremendous unmet need for the future in psoriatic arthritis. And that's where we have a real commitment to scientific innovation, clinical research with actually four clinical trials in psoriatic arthritis that are either phase two or phase three. In fact, there's actually one that's phase four in addition. And these cover various aspects of psoriatic arthritis, whether it be a harder to treat refractory population, your TNF inadequate responder population, whether it be looking at axial disease prospectively in a dedicated study, looking at structural damage in a dedicated study, and even thinking about combination therapy in psoriatic arthritis. Just imagine that, you know, four clinical trials in psoriatic arthritis alone that Janssen is committed to. And so really that, I think, reflects our commitment and also the pride that we have, having played a role in the advancements to date, and what's even more to come, I think, with our continued commitment. So that at the end of the day, it's really enabling patients to live lives that are really unburdened by disease.
There is certainly a lot going on at Janssen these days. Well, thank you so much for speaking with me again. I really appreciate it.
Thanks so much, Lana.
And thank you for listening to our episode today. Please be sure to subscribe to our podcast on Spotify, iTunes, or wherever you listen to make sure you never miss an episode. Until next time, be well.